AM600,
101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning, I'm Nikki Whaley. Two containers are responsible for a brief scare at a Duval County beach. Atlantic Beach police closed the beach yesterday between 11th and 12th Streets after a container washed upon shore. One of the containers was a device used to track ocean currents. The other was an empty can of propellant. The beach reopened about an hour later. A former Jacksonville resident who was a witness in a high-profile murder case is dead after a shooting in Texas. Joshua Brown was shot to death Friday in Dallas, about 2 weeks after the 28-year-old testified in the murder of the Dallas police officer Amber Geiger. There's no word on if investigators believe the shooting is related to his testimony, which helped send Geiger to prison for 10 years. Brown was born in Pensacola before moving to Jacksonville. He also lived in Daytona Beach before moving to Texas, where he went to high school. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning at 295 North at US 17. We're looking at an accident this morning, and the traffic is moderate right now from what we see on traffic cams. I-10 East, Lane Avenue to US 17, traffic is building there, and I-295 North, Bay Meadows Road, traffic is also building. We're expecting around an 80% chance of rain today and a high of 81 degrees. This evening, a 60% chance of rain. Overnight, the low 74. Right now, it's 75 here at WBOB. And here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The latest jobs report shows the unemployment rate at 3.5%, its lowest level since 1969. Bids for the sale of JEA start this week. The asking bid starts at around $6.8 billion. And Democrats move on with impeachment inquiry as a second whistleblower has come forward on the Ukraine controversy.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Don't forget to put us on your phones every morning. Thousands of you listen to this morning show throughout the state. Just go to the main website, WBOB.com. Download the app free. No monthly charges, no pop-ups. Just go to WBOB.com. Also read the bios of this morning show, other shows on this station, also on our weekend and afternoon shows as well. And also catch the podcast, the Ed Dean Extra. Very fast-paced, a lot of different guests, a lot of different issues. All of this right here on WBOB.com. Let's continue on with the news. I'm your host, Ed Dean. Roger Henderson. Roger's a second whistleblower. OMG.
Another one.
Oh, and another one. That's the one we go as Halloween, a whistleblower. I mean, I had this written down. What does the whistleblower remind me of? Oh, yeah.
Too short.
You know what this reminds me of? I love professional wrestling, especially old school. Remember the Masked Assassin, Mr. X? This should be like a new professional wrestling team. Whistleblower 1 and Whistleblower 2 taking on for the tag team championships out there. Here's the latest news report, if you buy into this, from ABC News.
ABC News has learned that the legal team representing the first whistleblower is now representing a second whistleblower.
Oh.
Attorney Mark Zaid told me that this second whistleblower is a member of the intelligence community with firsthand information on some of the allegations at issue. The second whistleblower has been interviewed by the inspector general.
Okay. My question I keep asking, you have the transcript. You have a document, not hearsay, or somebody... You have an actual transcript. In other words, I don't need the audio version. Mm. I mean, you know, I have right there. I have it written in front of me. What is it that we're going to find out from the whistleblower that the transcript is not already been released?
If the whistleblower testifies before the hearings, then they have someone actually talking that they can use for the news clip so they can control the news cycle a little bit better.
What's the point of having a whistleblower? He came out after the transcript. Oh, yeah, I can attest.
Well, the impeachment hearings, you know, which probably were going to go that way after the
Wait. I was a whistleblower. I mean, it's like saying, hey, the Gators won over the weekend. I called it. Yeah, you called it 5 minutes after the game. You know?
Congratulations.
Yes, you know.
The second whistleblower has not yet communicated directly with the congressional committees conducting this investigation.
Oh, are we sure about that? That's ABC News' George Stephanopoulos. We sure that the second whistleblower has not had any type with the congressional Democrats.
We are told that this second whistleblower, in fact, had firsthand information, not secondhand information. And the second...
Wait, Wasn't I told that the original whistleblower had firsthand, then they had to revise it? Well, technically, it was secondhand information.
The thing is, the first whistleblower's complaint turned out to be quite consistent with what we know about the call based on the transcript, reconstructed transcript released by the...
The reconstructed... Unless you think the transcript is a fake, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of.
The attorney for the first whistleblower to come forward over President Trump's phone call with Ukraine's president says a second official is ready to back up the story. Meanwhile, Democrats continue to pursue impeachment. A source in the House Democratic Caucus tells Fox News Democrats believe they have the votes to impeach.
They suggest that by even offering the opportunity to investigate the Bidens was, in effect, asking a foreign government to dig up dirt on a political opponent. They say that is an impeachable offense, something that will obviously be the subject of much debate.
What's the difference between asking a foreign government to dig up on an opponent and using a dossier by members of a foreign government that they supposedly dug up on an opponent? Just kind of curious about that. This was asked of...
It seems similar.
Orlando Congresswoman Democrat Val Demings. Hey, listen, if we hear that you guys got enough votes for impeachment, what in the world are you waiting on? Fox News host Chris Wallace.
Unless the full House votes to authorize an impeachment inquiry, as was done in the cases of Bill Clinton and Richard Nixon, why is House Speaker Pelosi refusing to hold a formal impeachment inquiry vote?
There is no requirement under the Constitution that we have a full House vote. There is no requirement under House rules that we have a full House vote. And there is no precedence that we have a full House vote that really drives
Wait, wait, Congresswoman, you say there's no precedent. There have only been two times in the history of under the rules we now have. Andrew Johnson back in the 1860s was different. In both the Bill Clinton case and the Richard Nixon case, there was a clear precedent. The full House voted and authorized a full impeachment inquiry.
So, Chris, it's been a rough 10 days for the country. Oh, come on, folks, just... She knows better. She's a smart woman. Trust me, I've covered her for years. She knows what's going on. Even the Washington bureau chief of the USA Today, Susan Page. How many of you all knew there? You know, we cover polls all the time in the show, just because they're fun to cover.
Right.
It's kind of, and I don't believe they're all fake, by the way. Some of them I would a little bit question, but then again, some of them have some sort of similar to truth within these poll numbers.
I think they're pretty accurate. I've only seen one poll that I thought was fake in my entire life.
Which one was that? Don't Andrew Gillum?
It was released by a political campaign. I believe I'll get their numbers going into
so
the election.
So there's been a USA Today poll that was done about whether or not if there was some sort of corruption from the Ukrainian deal with Biden and his son. USA Today, listen to this. This is Susan Page says the poll shows that Biden should be investigated.
Yes, it's going to hurt him. It's hurting him already, fairly or not. You know, we should start any discussion of this by saying there's no evidence that Joe Biden did anything illegal or anything improper. We had a USA Today Ipsos poll this week that showed that by 2-1, by 42-21%, Americans say it would be legitimate. There are valid reasons to investigate Biden's behavior when it came to Ukraine. You know, the behavior was not illegal. It's not unusual for family members to try to cash in.
Did she say it's not unusual, correct?
Crane. You know, the behavior was not illegal. It's not unusual for family members.
Here's the whole thing. Is there any law preventing this? It's not illegal. They tried to find this from the Trump administration, by the way, using his office. But with O'Biden, we don't want to investigate it. It's not unusual. That's the whole point. We've accepted this because it's not unusual. Well, we need to make it unusual.
It's totally different than after the person's left office to use their name. Okay, I'm such and such son
Didn't
or
happen.
Daughter. I know, especially when you're talking about I'm going to hold up foreign aid.
He admitted it.
And use, you know, some very colorful language in doing so as a consequence of not giving their child. I think that's an entirely different thing.
I was posting this all weekend on Facebook. I kept saying, listen, the Clinton Foundation got a whole lot of money when Hillary Clinton was in office. Okay. No one wants to investigate that. Number two, of course, all that money dried up after she lost. Number two, we know that the Clintons and the DNC through the Obama lawyer lobbyists funded money to Fusion GPS that got all its dirt from a bunch of Ukrainians and Russians, supposedly on Trump. So they used foreign government entities out there. That was proven, paid, by the way, but of course, the liberals, they told, well, the Trump's the one that actually got it, but you can't show any paid activity going on. Then you have it on a transcript that Trump didn't, he didn't say, hey, I'm going to hold up money in case you help me. That's not in the transcript. But Biden says, and we got the clip, hey, you're SOB, that's what he said. Hey, you know.
You're not the president. Call Obama then.
Yeah. Unless you fire the prosecutor, we're not going to give you the money.
To try to cash in on famous or powerful relatives, it is one something that Americans do not like. It is unseemly. And that is a question that Joe Biden is going to have to answer.
Listen, this has got the email scandal written all over from Hillary. Nobody voted against Hillary. Let's just put it this way. Hillary Clinton did not lose the 2016 election because of an email scandal. And Trump's not going to lose because of some tax returns he's not going to return. The numbers just show that. The Wall Street Journal numbers here. I don't think the majority of people followed it. They understood what was going on. They don't like the corruption. I think here the majority of people are not following this Ukrainian thing. They just hear corruption, and a lot of them just absolutely don't like it. Let's go back 1998. Here was Joe Biden on the impeachment process of then Bill Clinton.
Framers were fully aware that the impeachment process could become partisan attacks on the president, charged with animosities generated by all manner of prior struggle and disagreements over executive branch decisions, over policy disputes, over resentments at losing the prior election.
Oh, yeah?
And God only knows what else.
Yeah, that was the whole point. Even Van Jones from CNN says it's almost like a dang if you do, dang if you don't, with the Democrats going down the road when it comes to impeachment.
You get cross currents in this thing. At the same time, you know, Democrats are in a lose-lose situation. If they don't do something, their own base is going to feel disappointed, and you feel like maybe Trump gets away with too much. If you go through with the impeachment, though, you can divide the country further. You take the oxygen away from your candidates.
You know, that's an interesting question. I guess I would ask, what are the, if you have all of the information out there, Roger, what are they waiting on?
I think they want to, you know, control the news cycle. They want to take advantage of this opportunity to damage the president's reputation among the American people by having hearings that are covered by the news media. I think that's what they're waiting on.
You think so? They want more. Here we go.
House would be on better legal standing as it relates to what they're trying to compel production for if there was a formal vote to start an impeachment inquiry, if there was a process that we were following. I can't stand here before you and tell you what the process is. I can't stand before you right now and tell you what the charge is. They don't even know. There's an impeachment inquiry. They don't even know what the charges are.
That's Congressman Lee Zeldin, Republican from New York. He says they don't even know what they want to impeach the president on. We got a lot of other issues. All of this coming up next. A lot of fast-paced issues right here. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. 831-0600. 904-831-0600. Coming up next. Should Catholic priests, big news story. I can't believe this is even being talked about. Is the Pope a liberal? He's been a little bit liberal on some issues, or a lot of issues, especially on climate and issues with the government, wealth redistribution. But the Catholic Church now is looking about whether or not priests should be allowed to marry or marry individuals to become priests over a 1,000-year tradition. We got those clips coming up next. 831-0600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
295 North on the ramp to US 17. We're looking at an accident there, and we do see backups starting to build on the traffic cams. 10 East Lane Avenue to US 17, heavy traffic. And 295 South from Blanding Boulevard to the Buckman. Traffic's building there as well.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
I served in the United States military for 20 years and 3 days. When I came home, things were being noticed by my wife. She's the one that told me to go get help. I literally started crying the first appointment. I have PTSD with anxiety, so I was introduced into the world of the service dog. Canines for Warriors saves shelter dogs and trains them to be service dogs for veterans. 90% of the dogs from Canines are rescues. Days before I had Hannah were pretty rough. I couldn't walk into a store, into a movie theater. And with Hannah, I have that ability to do that. She's by my side 24/7. It was not just one life that they saved. I believe they saved both of our lives. It allows me to be that husband, to be that father. I feel a part of me is coming back that I used to be before I deployed.
Hey, love you. Love you,
Daddy.
Your monthly donation of $22 or more will save lives now. Become a guard dog and support Canines for Warriors. Lines are open now. Call 1-800-959-1059 and visit www.caninesforwarriors.org.
American Electrical Contracting. Wired right at a fair price.
Do you take your power for granted? Call American Electrical and make sure your home or office is operating at peak efficiency. Get an electrical checkup. Call 737-7770 for any electrical need. Look for the red, white, and blue eagle on the side of their truck, and you'll know it's American Electrical.
American Electrical Contracting. Wired right at a fair price.
Tax problems can be extremely stressful and cause financial devastation. The tax attorneys at J. David Tax Law are right here in Jacksonville to be your personal advocate and resolve your IRS or state sales tax issues. J. David Tax Law focuses on your needs and case outcomes. Don't be fooled by out-of-town tax companies that focus only on signing you up without even working with an attorney. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. If you have federal or state sales tax debt, payroll taxes, bank levies, wage garnishments, tax liens, or unfiled returns, have a sit down with J. David Tax Law and get the help you need. Never trust your tax situation to anyone you can't walk in and look in the eye. Call J. David Tax Law for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777. Or go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away.
The Everglades, previously stretching from Kissimmee to the Florida Keys, home to thousands of species of plants and animals, and an ecosystem found nowhere else on Earth, is half its original size and starved of water. To learn more and to help restore America's Everglades, visit EvergladesFoundation.org. That's EvergladesFoundation.org.
Lots of rain and thunderstorms expected today. The high around 81. This evening, a 60% chance of rain and a low of 74. Right now, 76 degrees here at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
And here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Consumer confidence among Floridians is high. Bids for the sale of JEA start this week. The asking bid starts at around $6.8 billion. And a new report says risky mortgage loans are back on the rise.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
20 minutes after 7 a.m. Good Monday morning. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. The Catholic Church is going to debate this week, over the next several weeks as well, whether or not priests should be allowed to marry and or married men, should they be allowed to become priests? Fox News' John Roberts.
Pope Francis has opened a three-week meeting of bishops at the Vatican that could pave the way for married men to join their ranks. A debate is also scheduled over whether or not to allow Catholic priests to marry. On one side of the highly contentious issue are those who say ordaining married men could help relieve the shortage of priests. Others argue loosening the 1,000-year-old requirement of celibacy would undermine the character of the priesthood.
So this is not a beat up on the Catholic faith. I just asked the question. First off, where do they get the 1,000-year tradition, or is there tradition made up by priests at the time or bishops, and or what scripture? I'm always fascinated by faith and religion. It's part of our culture. Whether you agree with certain aspects of it or not, I think it still should be part of our culture. I don't know why some of you want to deny it. But I think it's always fascinating to talk about issues that are taken way out of context, especially by those on the left, by even a few of those on the conservative aisle. But the question is, for those of you that are Catholic or not Catholic, good idea, bad idea, should priests continue to be, quote, celibate and or single? Doesn't mean they're always celibate. Or should they be allowed to marry? Some of you have said that if the church goes down this road, it would open the door to other controversial issues, including women's ordination. No, women being ordained and or homosexuality. Now, this is not to turn into a Bible discussion or theological discussion. I asked the question, tell me, because actually, somebody already emailed me the answer, but I asked the question. If you believe that it is a tradition for priests not to be married, just tell me it's a Catholic tradition. I'll accept that. But if you're going to tell me, well, if the tradition is based on Bible, well, then I need a little bit more verification
I think
on
it's,
that.
I think it's a different type of, I think you're projecting the Protestant view in place of the Bible.
I don't know what the Protestant view is.
Is that if the Bible says it, that's God's word. Where in the Catholic tradition, they say they wrote the Bible anyway, so whatever they say
can I have a little fun
has
with
the
you?
Same level of clout.
Is the word Catholic mentioned on the Bible?
No.
But what faith is mentioned in the Bible? John the Who. And who did John the Who baptized? I'm having a little fun. You like
you
that?
Are.
You like that one, Roger? Come on, that made you
well,
laugh.
Well, here's an interesting thing about this. I know you don't want to turn this into a theological program, but John the Baptist was essentially an Old Testament prophet. Although he's in the New Testament, he was under the old, you know, covenant.
Well, the New Testament had been truly fulfilled yet.
Yeah,
remember, he was there before Jesus came around.
Exactly.
By the way, he was actually called the greatest prophet of all time.
Exactly. So John the Baptist technically was not a Christian.
Sure he was. How do we mean he wasn't a Christian? Compared to who?
He was a member of the Judean faith.
Was Moses and those of the Old Testament not Christians?
Not yet.
How do you know they weren't Christians?
Christianity hadn't started yet.
Who said it had to be Christianity according to who? Let me ask a question. The term constitutionalist came out when? But were the founding fathers a member of the Constitutional Party? Were they constitutionalists at the time? Depending on maybe your origin of meaning or your meaning of origin out
yeah.
there. Just kind of have a little fun. That's okay. good discussion. I like it, Roger. 831-0600. So my question is, if you had to look at this issue, I'm having a little fun this morning. There is a priest, and I use that in quotations, that would totally kill this argument about priest not being allowed to be married. Who would that priest be, that individual? 831-0600. JEA, a lot of issues to talk about. Let's take some calls. Let's go to line one. Let's go to George. Hey, George, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Quick one on the Catholic Church. They can become married now if they switch to the Greek Orthodox Church and then come back to the Catholic Church. Greek Orthodox priest can be married.
Well, we know that ain't going to happen.
But it's going to – I think they will – I think that because of that influence, it's already happening.
There is one exception, though. Catholic priests can be married under one rule, and there's actually one in our area, from what I understand. That is, if he became an ordained minister in a Protestant denomination and then converted to Catholicism, then he could become a priest within Catholic Church, and there's actually one married priest, from what I understand, in our area.
Right. Some of the Episcopal priests have done that because of the mess over in the Episcopal Church.
All right.
Okay, on J.A.
Yeah.
Socialist engineers told Obama that if he computerized the whole power system in the United States, we would all cut our power bill massively. Has your power bill gone down?
Well, it depends. I'm a little bit more. I mean, I keep the air. I don't know. I mean, my power bill goes down some months, goes up some other months.
Right. Well, there's some senators. I can't say who they are because I've communicated with them, who are going to go ahead on the basis of national security and do what two CIA directors said, and that says switch this whole system over to fiber optics like
computerized.
ACP is doing. Yeah, well, it's already computerized. They already have artificial intelligence computers on there, and then you have your smart meters, which are a piece of trash. And so they're going to switch all the meters out if Congress will come up with the money, and JA should ask for a little bit more because right now every one of us who are ratepayers owe about $8,000 to pay off the debt if the debt is $4 billion.
Right. I got to get running. I got a lot of other calls to get to. But the whole JEA, I mean, these guys got thousands of acres. Well, 1,600 acres. That's what I'm told. But they are under
so they
report.
Can sell the land and maybe pay
they
it
can
off.
Sell the land. I mean, use it. Why don't you just have Disney buy it outright? All right. Well, just make a lot of money.
Good idea.
Yeah. So they're just, no one's talked about the pensions with JEA and a lot of other issues out there. And of course, there's a gag order. There's going to be several companies going to be looking to bid. We kind of got a hint of who some of them were. But I'm not under a gag order to tell you, so I don't have to tell you. Get it? I'm not under a gag order, which they claim is out there. By the way, you know, with the way Congress is going down the road, George, you just gave me something. You know who I'm voting for the initials next time for Congress? AI. Artificial intelligence. Because technically that's what I got up there.
Be careful what you ask for.
Because there is no intelligentsia up there. Some of my Italian friends, you'll catch that intelligentsia
okay.
from most of our elected officials. Let's go to Joe on line two. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, I got two quick comments.
Yeah.
On the transcript thing, when you played that soundbite before, they said it was a reconstructed transcript, right? The phone transcript.
Mm-hmm.
It was a reconstructed transcript. Adam Schiff reconstructed it 2 weeks ago when he was on national TV. reading his own version of the transcript. Follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess he claims it was kind of like supposed to be funny. I don't know. Schiff just, every time the guy opens his mouth, I enjoy my iPod a little bit more with my headset.
Yeah, but I'm saying, and also, this is a funny part. On the second whistleblower, I think they have like a jury pool. They have a whistleblower pool. If one whistleblower, they don't like what he's saying, they'll get another one.
Well, I mean, you got the same lawyer representing these guys. I mean, is this the what's the guy who did Stormy Davis? What's his name? He had other officials. Remember the same lawyers? I mean, even the Kavanaugh accusers didn't have the same lawyer.
Right.
Of course, they found to be insufficient, very insufficient. What if, I don't remember the porn lawyers, as Tucker Carlson calls them, the creepy porn attorney. He represents Stormy Daniels. Claim he had a bunch of other women out there.
He was
going to
run for president. Yeah, it escapes me.
But I'm saying is that you've got one lawyer now representing someone. I mean, usually, at least in the Kavanaugh situation, it wasn't the same attorney, as I recall. It was different attorneys out there. So, 831, did you find the name? 831.
Michael Avenatti.
Yeah, Avenatti. 831-0600, 904-831-0600. My only question is, you've got a whistleblower that's now come out now. Well, what's he going to say that it's not accurate or inaccurate unless you think that the transcript's been doctored out there? It's kind of like saying, well, I had money on Florida after the Florida Gators win this past week. Very impressive win, by the way, against the Auburn Tigers. My, what's the point of having a whistleblower? Let's go to David. Hey, David, good morning.
Good morning. The reason that the priests don't get married is because Paul said, I wish all were like I am. And we do not know exactly why Paul was single at the time, whether his wife had died or whatever. Jewish priests and Pharisees had to be married. People were not called Christians until the church at Antioch. Christian is a word that means Christ-like. So no, Moses was not a Christian. You opened up several things there. Love semantics, love word games, but the reason that the Catholic priests don't get married is because Paul said he was single and every member of the church worker should be so that they were unencumbered and they could do the work.
But Paul used to be married.
We don't know. It is safely assumed because he was a Pharisee and a Pharisee had to be married.
Let me ask you a question. I'm a conservative. When did the term conservative come around? It's just a different meaning. Moses and his guy still went to heaven, correct? Did you cut him off?
No. Conservative, when did the word come around?
Well,
I don't know.
Okay, but this is what I'm getting at. This is what I'm getting at. Just because it wasn't the term Christian, were they not or did they not, were they children of God? You can call it a different name, and I would agree with you. It is semantics.
Some people would argue that they were servants of God in the Old Testament, but we became children of God after Jesus.
They still went to heaven.
Yeah.
Let me look at the book. I mean, talk about Elijah.
Bosom of Abraham, where there's.
Yeah, that's fine. So, I mean, I understand the word Christian. I get it. I get that argument. 831-0600. More of your calls are coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Citing what he calls lies and massive frauds, President Trump suggests that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff are the ones who ought to be impeached. Meanwhile, a second whistleblower has come forward, supposedly offering information about President Trump's phone call to Ukraine's president. American troops allied with Kurdish-led forces in northeast Syria has started pulling back from some areas that border Turkey. That clears the way for a full-fledged Turkish invasion. The Syrian Kurdish fighters accusing Washington of failing to abide by its commitments to its key ally in the fight against ISIS. The justices returning to the Supreme Court bench for the start of an election year term. It includes high-profile cases about abortions, protections for young immigrants, and LGBT rights. This is SRN News.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning. I'm Nikki Whaley. A Jacksonville police officer shot and killed a man outside of a North Side Walmart on Friday night after the man sprayed the officer in the face with wasp and hornet spray. According to JSO, the man was also armed with a 15-inch baton and a knife. The incident happened around 10:40 at the Walmart at the River City Marketplace. The officer was called there to a disturbance that was going on inside the store. The man that was causing the problems has been identified as 37-year-old Bruce William Clark. JSO Officer S. Dorsirian approached Clark as he was walking into the parking lot, and he was sprayed in the face with insect killer. Dorsirian credits his training for his quick response in the matter. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office is searching for a hit-and-run driver who killed a woman on Saturday night. It happened around 9:40 near the intersection of New Kings Road and Edgewood Avenue. Anyone with any information is being urged to contact police. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Good morning, 295 going north at US 17. We're looking at an accident there this morning, and the traffic cams are showing moderate backup. I-10 East at I-95, there has been a crash, and 95 South near the airport at Pecan Park, a wreck there this morning. We're expecting an 80% chance of thunderstorms today and a high of 81. This evening, a 60% chance of rain, 74 the low. Right now, it is 76 here at WBOB. And here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Bids for the sale of JEA start this week. The asking bid starts at around $6.8 billion. Democrats move on with the impeachment inquiry as a second whistleblower has come forward on the Ukraine controversy. And the latest jobs report shows the unemployment rate at 3.5%, its lowest level since 1969.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
I'm going to get Steve Beam in just a quick second. I want to squeeze in a couple quick phone calls. Let's go to Matt. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. Very interesting topic. Hope you all had a good weekend.
Yeah.
Ed, I got to tell you, over the weekend, went out on the boat, caught 26 pounds of shrimp out of the river.
Wow. Wait. 26 pounds of shrimp?
Yes, sir. They're running hard up in St. Johns County today.
Man, I'm so glad
you're our friend, man.
Hey, Matt, I was at Matt, you know, they had the Rainbow, they had the Pride Festival this weekend in Jacksonville. This is a true story. I was actually at a Rainbow event this weekend. I was at Rainbow River State Park over in Dunallen, and it's cold water, but man, the brim, the bass are all over the place.
That's awesome. So yeah. It sounds like you had a good day.
We had it was good. We just went, it's just called Rainbow River. It's not a bunch of creepy activity. It's just gorgeous out there anyway. I always have a good fishing update, Matt.
Fantastic. So the Catholic Church and priests getting married. What you got to remember is the early church priests could get married.
I think you're correct.
They could get married all the way up until there was a council in the 1100s. And
right.
This was explained to me by a priest, a Catholic priest, because someone asked, why can't priests get married? And he explained, they could get married all the way up until the 1100s. There was a council.
That's right.
Now, why did this council take this rule away from priests, from married people with families who were in the Catholic Church? Why would they do this?
Tell me.
What happens when a father dies and there is land left to his family? The oldest would get the land.
The brother would get the land.
Or the brother, or
right.
Who, the oldest would get the land.
Correct.
If they were not a Catholic priest, the Catholic Church lost the land. So they put a stop to it.
It's about money, huh?
Man, it sounds like the government.
Wow. The inheritance tax.
Well, listen, Matt, I appreciate that. Hey, Matt, don't forget to send me an email, man. We got to go do some shrimping, okay?
Absolutely.
I'm dead.
You let me know when.
I will, man. I appreciate it. Now, I mean, this is not a put down on the Catholic faith. Folks, I just want you to listen to this. It's been a lot of it about money. If you don't believe me, look at the history, like purgatory. Purgatory is not biblical, but you could pay the priest certain services to make sure that person was not in purgatory.
Which,
right?
You know, in fairness to today's Catholics, that's not being done today where they're paying, I don't think.
Right. But I mean, purgatory. Other things, but I'm just saying I'm just telling you, for those of you just tuning in, I want to get some economic stories in a moment. Big story came out over the weekend that the Catholic Church is even toying. This is making news. They're toying, T-O-Y-I-N-T-O-Y-I-N-G, with flirting with the idea of allowing priests to become married. They're running short on priests out there.
If they
and
do,
marrying men to become priests.
If they go through with this, I believe there will be a huge resurgence in people, you know, joining the Catholic Church.
It could, you know what?
A lot of people
some credibility
home,
will come
they
back.
They don't feel it's a safe place for their kids in a lot of churches.
And by the way, I keep asking the question. Some of you have gotten the email right. You can call me up, 831-0600. Name me the priest that would totally dispel, would just kill the argument about Catholic priests not being allowed to be married in order to be a priest. Who would that priest be? 831-0600. Talk Radio WBOB. All right, let's continue on with the news. One of my favorites. He's going to be back. He comes down here often, comes on the show with us in the studios. Very well-known author. He's been a financial and economics radio talk show host. His website, themcgrawcouncil.com. He is the CEO and the president of that big outfit, our good friend, Steve Beamon. Steve, let me bring to you the latest economic numbers. 3.5% unemployment. Here's clip number one. The lowest since when? Since we landed on the moon.
The unemployment rate dropped to 3.5%. The last time it was that low was when we landed on the moon, 1969, in that year. Revisions were both up for July and August, 7,000 jobs added in July, revised up in August, 38,000 jobs.
So, Steve, it's not the robust of 200,000 plus, but the numbers are still growing. Are we at full unemployment or full employment now, Steve? Why weren't those numbers bigger? What do you think?
Well, there is a huge debate going on right now as to whether or not we are actually at full employment, Ed.
Right.
I mean, the fact of the matter is you get to a certain percent of the population, they're neither capable or desirable of having work. So when you're getting to these numbers across all segments, where it's within the minority communities, the female community, and pick your community, unemployment rates are very low right now because this economy has been chugging along at 3% plus growth. And that's what we wanted when Trump got elected. It's what we've seen. The question now is whether we can continue that growth.
So when we talk about, I'm going to get our levels back up, Steve. It's not yours, it's our levels over here in a second. So here's, and let me play more of the clip. Here's Christina Partilanovis from Fox Business News that shows that people are still hiring out there.
The number's a little bit lower than what economists were expecting at 140,000. But if we look at the graph, and we have one just coming up under President Trump, just the strength, the number of jobs that have been added over the past several years, you can see them still climbing higher. Most of the new jobs this past September came in the service sector, like education, healthcare providers. It was the retail sector that was actually hit the hardest. We lost about 11,000 jobs there. But as a whole, this is good news because the U.S. consumer is still strong, and U.S. consumers contribute about 70% to GDP. So that's a good thing when Americans keep buying.
Yeah, here's Steve Beamon. Here's from the Wall Street Journal's John Hilsenrath. He says, yeah, we may have slower job growth, but he says it's nowhere even close to the recession the Democrats keep talking about.
I mean, I think what it's looking at is, after today's report, basically an affirmation of the slowdown story and a contradiction of the recession story. So job growth has slowed. We're not near the 200,000 a month numbers we were at a year ago. It's down and below 150,000. The economy is slowing. It's affecting wages. But there's nothing in here that points to recession. And there's been a lot of worry about recession in the markets. And I think that's why we're going to see, why we're seeing stock prices rebound.
But Steve, I would assume now we're in the month of October, and I would say this of any president, that I would expect the unemployment number, the job numbers to do well, because you got a lot of companies that will be hiring part-time, even paying pretty good money at $16-17 an hour, and maybe even some full-time positions. A lot of people may try to get on full-time after the first of the year. So I would expect those unemployment numbers, or the employment numbers, to go up 170, maybe close to 200,000 possibly again over the next couple of months, or what?
I think they could. I mean, clearly fourth quarter is a boom quarter for employment with the holidays. But let me make another point, Ed, that I think is relevant. It's not just the jobs that are being created and the strength of the job market, but wages are rising. And that's perhaps the most important thing. We're putting more purchasing power into the hands of the American people. We're also creating a more, I'll say, a less regulated environment for the small and intermediate-sized companies to hire those people and grow. And so this is a strong economy. Now, when it comes to recession, yes, we're seeing a slowdown, but it's driven by Washington, whether it's the tariffs we're looking at or this impeachment nonsense. What you're doing is putting kind of fears into the marketplace that indeed can lead to recessionary things, but it's not the underlying economy driving it.
So you don't think it's going to happen anytime soon?
I don't, and I actually believe China will budge. I think they'll come through with some positive settlements. We're seeing soybean shipments into Japan improve. We're seeing a lot of restructuring of global trade. I think the European Union is going to budge on this Airbus tariff that came out last week. So I think net as we go into 2020, assuming that we don't get more of this impeachment stuff, we're going to actually have a strong economy.
All right, let's move to another big issue that's come out over the weekend. By the way, Steve Beamon, he is the CEO and president of the business group, the McGraw Council. Go to McGrawCouncil.com. Very well-known talk show host on economics and finances. The Wall Street Journal, I guess, has an article. I guess there was a study and some research done by the Urban Institute where the level of government-backed housing debt rose to a record high this year. Talking about risky mortgage loans could be back on the rise again. They're talking about how that some of these banks, again, are giving credit score or bank loans at credit scores at 640 and below, and their income or their debt-to-income ratio is above 50%. Listen to townhalls.com, Guy Benson.
Reports that risky home loans are back on the rise. Remember the whole subprime mortgage disaster that tanked the economy in 2008? Well, for some insane reason, they're back. So, are these early signs of another financial collapse, potentially, or just some false flags?
What is it, Steve? I mean, yeah, there is some more debt out there, but of course, the same reports that the government comes out says, yes, more people are acquiring more debt, unlike before the Great Recession. They also have more money to pay off their debt.
I think it's a false flag. I don't think there's any real bubble building there. But I want to touch on this, Ed, because you're bringing up a topic that people need to be aware of. If you're coming out of New Jersey, New York, Illinois, we are seeing the real estate bubble burst there because the government is taxing people increasingly heavily on their real estate to cover the pension debts. Those governments can't do it or can't handle it. And that is going to create the bubble. It's not that people are taking out bad loans. The restrictions put on the banks through the whole crisis that we had in the restructuring has solidified most of that. But it is the real estate property tax burden that's going to cause the bubble to burst in many of these larger tax states.
All right, here is Scott Martin from Kingsview Wealth Management. He says there's a reason why all these loans are being out there. They're out there for a reason. Clip number 12.
I'll tell you that those mortgages are out there, and they're out there for a couple reasons. Just to not make anybody worry, I don't think we're going to get into this situation where we're going to have these mortgages repackaged and then reloaned and then repackaged and sold, you know, and traded. But let's face it, there aren't a lot of great borrowers out there. I hate to say it about America or wherever you are, but the reality is some of these borrowers, and a lot of them, are Alt-A or subprime borrowers. You know, they're not great borrowers. So banks need to lend money to make money. And so they have to somewhat relax their lending standards to keep doing their business. And so while I think they're more careful this time, it's true that these scary loans are out there.
Okay, so they're out there. Steve, here's the question. Is the government, I mean, we could spend, as you point off, we were talking about this off the air, we could spend an hour on this issue. Did the banks before the pre-Great Recession levels, did they do this on their own? Were they mandated or, quote, encouraged by the feds to lower their restriction rules on how the loan proceedings should take place?
Well, let's go back to the early 2000s when I think it was Representative Maxine Waters who pushed the idea of desktop underwriting and was trying to put unlimited underwriting.
Hey, Steve, you're going in and out with the phone, brother.
Oh, well, I was talking about in the early 2000s. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, your phone's a little bit breaking up, but you're fine now.
Okay, my apologies. But you go to the early 2000s when Maxine Waters came in talking about desktop underwriting, and it was indeed the federal government pushing these companies to increasingly write loans to people who couldn't pay them back. We're not seeing that today. These loans are not just turning and churning like they used to do. Yes, we're releasing standards, but my bigger concern isn't the borrower. It's the tax burden being placed on that borrower, which takes away their ability to repay their loans.
So let's say that, and I know you're in this business as well, but you have certain requirements. But having said that, if you've got a history of making payments, okay, Steve, you got a little bit of borrowing, but you're at least making payments. Your credit score is below 710. It may be around 650, but you've got the money to pay it. Should there be a higher standard on you paying back your loan, or should the banks be in the business on their own about whether or not they want to lower credit scores in order for you to get that loan process?
Let me give you an interesting finding. As you know, I am in the business of funding businesses. We find that the credit score of the individual borrower has very little correlation to their ability or willingness to pay that loan back. It's not predictive whatsoever. So we don't really look at credit scores that high. And I think if you look at the banks lowering their credit score standards, it's more a result of them offering more loans. It's not a driver to it. I don't think these credit score numbers are as important as people say.
All right. Well, I love hearing all this from you, man. This is a good story. Well, anyway, hey, Steve Beaman, it's good to have you on today, as always.
I can't wait to get back down there. I love your territory. The Jacksonville folks are the best in the country.
All right. I appreciate that, man. Nice little shout out there. How you like that one for the Jacksonville folks?
Yeah.
There we go. Anyway, it's a lot. We're going to continue. And, Roger, I will tell you this right now. I think I'm always fascinated. I think this is one of the greatest debates we could ever have. How did we get into the Great Recession? I don't think it's the same as the Great Depression. But I'm always curious. A lot of people want to blame it all on the government. Some people blame it on businesses for not being regulated enough. To this day, it's one of the most fascinating conversations I think we can ever have.
I think it was a perfect storm situation where gas prices went through the roof. At the same time, there are some things going on in Wall Street,
right.
And I think it all compounded.
I'm glad that's your opinion. Okay. Anyway, I'll sit down. All right. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson. This is Talk Radio, WBOB.
At I-95 North at Bay Meadows Road. Look out for a wreck there this morning. 295 North at Wilson Boulevard. A bad accident there has two lanes blocked. We're looking at a tremendous backup on traffic camps. And if you're at 95 South at Pecan Park near the airport, there's a wreck there as well.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing, he had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife Jenny was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Saturday, October 5th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. Saturday, October 5th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Farmers Market at the St. Augustine Premium Outlet Mall. And Saturday, October 5th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's the Riverside Arts Market under the Fuller Warren Bridge on Riverside Avenue.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
We're expecting lots of rain with thunderstorms today and a high of about 77 degrees this evening. Expect our low temperature to drop to about 74. And currently at WBOB, it is 77 degrees. Let's take a look at what's going on in the roads right now. We are seeing an accident at I-95 going north at Bay Meadows Road, 95 north at, it looks like, exit 333, State Road 9B, causing a lot of backup there. And if you're out near the airport, I-95 South, we're looking at a crash there this morning.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9, Dennis Prager at noon. Now back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Years of whispers, rumors, and flat-out denials from City Hall. JEA will begin accepting bids tomorrow for a potential buyer of the utility, which has been city-owned for 125 years. The asking price could be $6.8 billion or more for the whole thing.
That's First Coast News. Good morning, 749. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio, WBOB. Let the bids begin. Wait. We can't tell you who's looking at bidding, nor can we tell you what. Well, we know the asking price is at $6.8 billion. The bidding starts at 2 o'clock. Today, supposedly, there's some sort of gag order on the Jacksonville City Council. I didn't realize all this land the JE owns. They've got thousands of acres of land, including a 1,600-acre north side. They've got $1.45 billion in cash and investment on the books. But in order to say that if you want to get the 6.8, it would net at least $3 billion in cash for the, quote, city-owned run agency.
JEA will consider selling piece by piece. Either way, the bidding process will be secret and could take months. Now, it was April 2018 when JEA approved a former board member, Aaron Zahn, as the new CEO of the utility. He's a longtime ally of Mayor Lenny Curry, and Zahn's history with an investment group specializing in acquiring power generation companies fueled speculation that the move was designed to lay the groundwork for a sale, which the mayor denied. Voted in favor of calling a public vote before any approval of a sale of JEA. But that straw poll was not binding, and the city has said it does not need voter permission.
Oh, what a way. So y'all went out there and voted on nothing for the... It doesn't matter, even though you voted in the straw poll that you want at least a say in it. It doesn't matter what it is, because that straw poll was null and void.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah, that's right.
voting public.
Hey, and by the way, why don't you, if we're all about voter approval, which is fine. In many cases, I do like voter approval. Would you leave it up to your city council person to vote in favor, yes or yay or nay, to vote in favor or not in favor of selling JEA? Or do you believe this should be left to the public? What do you think the public would support? I would support selling JEA.
You know what? I think, just prior to the municipal elections we had, I think they were against it. I think probably now they're probably more for it in light of the fact that we're hearing that if it stays in its current situation, the rates are going to go through the roof, we're told.
No one's talked about the unions at all on that issue. 831-0600. This weekend, it was known as the 41st Pride Festival. Was held in Jacksonville. Thousands of rainbow-clad people celebrated love and understanding. I must be misunderstanding it, but that's okay. I don't know what the understanding part is. But about 3,000 people, according to the news reports, showed up around Riverside to kick off as a boatload of people are gathering in their themed costume, glitter, feathers. I mean, the boa was out there? You mean Hulk Hogan used to wear a boa? Was Hulk Hogan part of it? I'm just kidding. You remember the big boa Jesse Ventura used to? And that's not a snake boa. It's okay. A boa like a thing. You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, never heard of
that. Oh, my word. How many? It's where you like wear like, it's kind of like an art thing you wear around you, like the feather thing you would wear like around Halloween.
Some kind of outfit?
Yeah. Okay. It's just a boa you ring. I don't know how to, go look it up. Right. And I remember I was in Michael Arts and Crafts one time. I was doing something. I was a teenager for my mom's church gathering for the ladies, and they go, "Hey, would you go to Michael Arts and Crafts and get out a bunch of boas? This is just it's like a costume thing."
Okay.
And I'm the only guy in line, and there's eight females behind me.
And I see it.
You see it? And the ladies are going, "Oh, what kind of party you got tonight?" I said, "It's for my mom's church gathering," and they're looking and going, "Sure, it is."
Right.
Yeah. I was like, "Well, whatever." You're so. Here's the latest news story on this weekend.
Like a big feathery thing.
Yeah, here's news for Jax.
People from all different walks of life came together to celebrate River City Pride. This year's parade was the largest to date, with over 100 organizations and more than 3,000 participants. River City Pride is continuing to break records. Organizers say this year's festival is the largest the city has ever seen. Also, this year Pride Festival celebrate another milestone.
This year's the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. Stonewall was the set of riots that took place. And it kind of paved the way for the movements that we have today.
The set of riots, there was reports of pedophilia going on, illegal sexual behavior. Pretty much it took place, if you go back and look in the late 60s, of what happened with that. Here are some of the Pride goers that were there this past weekend.
Yeah, I decided to come out to this year's Pride because I...
By the way, how many people from the area in Jacksonville, Northeast Florida, live around the area? Or did a lot of people come from outside the city?
I would imagine a lot of people came in, and to be frank with you, and anyway, go ahead.
I really believe that this is...
I guess they couldn't find a library, I don't know.
...community that really needs support, and I've always wanted to really show support for all the queer community, especially my sister.
Well, for the queer community. Now, again, Roger, I didn't think we could use that word anymore.
Apparently it's okay now.
And also, you know, why not come out and have a party with all people that all believe that love is love?
We have a family member as well, so we just come out to support and just show the love. It's fun, and it's great exposure and teaching the kids to love early.
For a very long time in the U.S., people were afraid to be who they are. Now we need to encourage people to come out so they can live life as their true selves and truly be happy.
Does that mean you guys would accept somebody wearing a Make America Great hat? By the way...
No. What do they mean by teach the children to love early?
That's what I was asking.
Is that concerning just to me, or is that...
Maybe. I asked you that question last hour.
What does that mean exactly?
I know. And also, we got to be more inclusive. Well, what about, I'm just kind of curious, what if he has, by the way, there are a lot of gay people. We've gotten the emails, trust me, showing off their Make America Great hat again. We've had them come on this radio show.
Yeah.
They're a big Trump, and they're like, hey, this is not a big issue for us. Make America Great Again. I wonder if anybody, if I could be, I would have loved to go on that festival, just do a man on the street, or a woman, or a transgender issue person on the street interview. That would have been fun. Mm. So anyway, more on the other side. This is come on, I gotta have a little humor. The Talk Radio, WBOB.
I-10 East at I-95. We're looking at a wreck there this morning. 95 South Pecan Park near the airport, a crash. 295 North in Wilson Boulevard, a bad accident. Has a couple of lanes blocked. We are looking at a lot of backup there. And Butler East at Hodges. There's been a crash there as well.
I'm Lou Dobbs. Businesses facing a big question about how to dress up the workplace. A Supreme Court this week may help decide. Starbucks under fire in Hong Kong. Those stories next.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 844-57-BIBLE. That's 844-57-BIBLE. 844-57-BIBLE.
The Supreme Court will hear arguments tomorrow centering on a Michigan funeral home. It's a case that will have perhaps far-reaching implications for all businesses. That funeral home trying to enforce a professional dress code. The nonprofit Alliance Defending Freedom to Defend the Mortuary, where a male employee who says he identifies as a woman wanted to wear female clothing while comforting mourners. Activists in Hong Kong zeroing in on a new target to protest. Starbucks. Demonstrators smashed storefront windows and sprayed graffiti on the coffee chain's Hong Kong stores. They say Starbucks' local franchisee is an apologist for Beijing communists. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Deciding when, how, and where to place your loved one in a senior living home or community can be very overwhelming. You're not alone. Fortunately, there's a local company that is committed to guiding you through and simplifying the whole process. Assisted Living Locators. Assisted Living Locators will help you through every step of the way. They will help you find the right solution for now and for the future. Best of all, their service is absolutely free. There is no cost to you. Assisted Living Locators will provide you with everything you need to know about area senior living apartments and independent living, assisted homes and communities, personal and adult care homes, and Alzheimer's and memory care communities. Assisted Living Locators, your local senior living advisor. Take advantage of this free service today. Call 904-559-3203. That's 904-559-3203. Or visit assistedlivinglocatorsjax.com. That's assistedlivinglocatorsjax.com.
Lots of rain today and a high of 81 this evening. We're expecting more rain, 74 the low right now. It's 77 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
More coming up next, the 8 a.m. hour, Talk Radio, WBOB.